I am Planta on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. The best friends Kat and Nat, Catherine Belknap and Natalie Telfer, were in town last week for appearances on their new memoir, Mom Truths, embarrassing stories and brutally honest advice on the extremely real struggle of motherhood. It's a very funny book about the experience of having children. They have seven children between them, and they talk about their births, their fathers. They're either married to Mark or Mark, as well as raising these kids in the world of social media. They're candid about sex, giving advice, taking advice, and what to eat and not eat. It's a fun book, and they're fun to talk to. Visit catandnat.ca for more information. Their Twitter handle is @catandnat. This book is already a bestseller in Canada, hitting number one at one point. It is published by Harmony Books. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Catherine Belknap and Natalie Telfer. Ms. Belknap, good morning.
Good morning. So formal. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. And Ms. Telfer, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So you write that this isn't for men, this book, but I have to say that as a male, I found it interesting because a lot of my guy friends who have kids, and it's not just them, but men in general, seem to discount what it's like to be a mom. What can guys do better, say?
It's so funny you say that because you're the second man literally in the past 2 hours have said, I have learned so much from this book, and I'm so glad you wrote it because it has given me insight into my wife or, like, other women. And what can men do?
You know, I never really thought about it from your perspective, like, for a man to read that, what they can learn. But most of the people that you know, most of them probably do have kids.
Yeah.
And so to hear...
Or they were kids. That was a good one. You had a mom, usually.
But, like, for you guys to hear it from our perspective, because it is such a complicated journey, and there's so many things we go through that you would have no idea if you haven't had a kid. But the way that we think men can make it easier on women is to, well, I guess read the book, because then you can get inside of our heads.
Right.
But also to be patient and understand that our bodies and minds go through so much during pregnancy and then becoming moms that sometimes we don't make any sense, and that's okay. And that
it's not about you. Mm. Like, it's not about men. It's about kind of us becoming mothers. And we say that becoming a mom is like learning a new language. And I think it's also with your relationship, too. Like, when you're in a relationship and you have a child together, you add a new person into your relationship. Mm. And people say, oh, it's a baby. It's so cute. It's not a puppy. It is an actual human who you have to work with that person in a new way in order to make a family, you know?
Yeah. And that's what you write in the book, that even if your husband is understanding, it doesn't mean he understands.
No,
that's right.
We don't necessarily want you to understand. We don't think you can understand. We just want you to understand that we're going through something. So,
and one of the other things that we find that often we've heard and experienced that men do is they want to fix the problem. Like, if we want to talk about what we're going through, they want to come up with a solution. But often we just want to be heard. We just want someone to say, like, Alina, like, I hear you. I'm here for you. When you need me, I'm here, but not to come up with all these solutions, because we're like, often we're not going to be open to your solutions, because that's not what we want. That's not what we want when we're talking about how the way we feel.
Yeah, you write that in the book. One of you does, about being on a plane with a young child, one of your young children.
Yeah.
Someone next to you starts making suggestions that this is what you do to say calm the kid down. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of stuff that I guess a mom doesn't need.
No, and it happens anywhere. It happens in the grocery store. It happens on a plane. It's these people that feel, and often sometimes they don't even have kids, but they feel like they want to give us solutions to figure out, like, to make it better, to make our baby stop crying.
And they want to fix it.
Right.
But often that just makes us feel even more insecure because, you know, we're like, although we can see that you're trying to say something, it makes us feel worse about being a mom.
Yeah, and so how do you deal with and not just that, but I mean even before people even start to talk to you, they look at you funny or they get judgy. I mean that's something that a mom has to contend with all the time, regardless of where she is, right?
It does, and that's why we say, like, as women, if your kid is throwing it down or you feel like you're losing your mind anywhere in public, and another woman looks at you and smiles, and, or just smiles or says, like, I've been there, or, like, you're doing a good job. It's a small comment that someone can make that can make you feel so much better in the moment.
And remember, if you don't have kids and you see a man who has a child who's doing that, often we have empathy for them, and we're like, wow, you're such a great dad, you got this. And when we see a woman with kids who are doing that, we blame the woman, and we're like, God, you're a terrible mom. How could your kids act like that?
Like, get yourself together, woman.
Mm. So I think it's such an interesting way, the way we walk. Even other moms, we see the way they celebrate our husbands, because we're on tour right now without the children. They've got them.
Yeah.
And a lot of moms are like, oh, my gosh, how are you doing? Like, are you handling it? And I'm like, we do this every single day. Like, yeah. They are just as capable as us.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned not being with your kids. So there's 7 kids between the two of you. Nat has 4. Kat has 3.
Yep.
People must ask you how you do it all. And I guess that's why you wrote the book, right?
Yeah. You know what? You're bang on that one. We wrote the book. Also, we try to kind of debunk the myths of motherhood, which is often that you have to be it all and you have to do it all. And we certainly don't do it all. But what we do is we do try to, you know, find our own selves within motherhood, and we try to make sure that everyone knows that although motherhood is intense and it's crazy, it's also fun and it can also be light, and we try to find the laughter within the dark moments, because holy, we let swear on this thing or no?
Yeah.
No.
What there's a chapter at the end of the book called Mom Enough?
Yes.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, that just means that, you know, no matter how you do it, no matter if you feel like you're crushing the day and you're, you know, everything's falling apart, if you love your kids and you're there for them, that's going to be enough. And that's the other thing that we say is, like, we have evolved so much as moms over the past decade. We've had these 7 kids, and the moms we were 9 years ago are not the moms we are today. And to not judge yourself if you decide to change your mind about something, you know, we didn't leave our kids alone for like a year. We wouldn't even go on a date with our husbands. And now we're on the road and we go on tour for a week a month and leave our kids for a week. And back then we would have looked at these moms and said, how could they leave their kids? And now we're doing it and we're seeing the positive sides of it. So every mom is going to do it differently. They're going to work, or they're going to stay at home, or they're going to work from home, or they're going to travel, or they're going to be a single parent. But no matter how you do it, if you love your kids, then you're mom enough.
So, so since you're both on book tour without the kids, what's that been like? Is that hard to adjust to, say, when you have the time away from them?
I think that you're always a mom even when you're not with your kids, and they're always, it's what we, a lot of people have is like this backpack. It's invisible, but it's what you carry, and you're still a mom even when you're across the country for them, because they still call you, teachers still email you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're just physically not there, but you're mentally always there. And although we have like a pseudo physical break, you never get a mental break. Mm-hmm. But what we're learning is that when we step away, they step up, everybody mm-hmm. steps up, mm-hmm. and they're actually becoming more resilient. They're dealing with things that usually mommy used to deal with, which is only going to make them stronger when they get older. And I think that, you know, it's teaching them to be confident. And we've learned as mothers so much about this. And our husbands have a relationship with them that they never would have had before, because they go to daddy now because mommy's not there. And often when there's 2 parents that are together, it's usually mom and dad or just mom. It's very rarely just dad.
Mm-hmm.
So now that they have just dad, like, a lot more, we're seeing that relationship, and it's pretty amazing to see, you know, dads love their kids just as much as moms do.
Mm-hmm. Often they just need to be able to give them the opportunity to know that they're capable, and for the kids to know that dad's capable,
right.
And that's what's happening right now.
Yeah. Here's a dumb question. This is from a guy, obviously, who will never give birth. One assumes that because you have multiple children already, does delivering a baby, the act of that, does that get easier after you do it the first time?
I have a vagina.
I love that question. No one's asked. So awesome.
I had one naturally,
yeah.
And then, which is a vagina. And then,
what they call it, naturally?
Natural. Which they're all natural. And then I had one emergency C-section, which means we tried to go natural 10 pounds later, C-section. And then the third was a C-section. So, nope, each baby has a mind of their own.
And going into delivery and having the baby is just as scary every single time, because you know that anything could happen. Right. And you cannot plan for the way it's gonna go down. So, no, it doesn't get easier.
I feel I can ask a dumb question like that because you talk in the book about what the relationship is like with you, each of your marks after having a child because naturally they ask about sex after, right?
Yes. Some stupid doctor decided 6 weeks was good. I mean, there's no stupid doctors, but decided 6 weeks was long enough. I'm like, I think we need a petition. We need to change that time. It should be when you are ready. There's
right.
no actual, like, your body may be physically ready, but, like, your emotions may not be. And I think that the bigger conversation is, yep, your body could be ready to go, but if you're not there in every other capacity, it's just, oh, it's a long haul.
The husband needs to stop crossing off the days until 6 weeks and wait for his wife to tell him it's time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other thing that I learned a lot from your book, Mom Truths, is the strain on the relationship after having a child. And since you've done this now, both of you, seven times, one wonders if you might have advice on how to avoid, say, any of that tension that happens. And it's natural that it happens too, right?
Well, yeah. I like, you can love them but not like them. And I think that goes for any relationship at any given time.
Boy, ain't that the truth, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that if you acknowledge that just because you like they're breathing too heavy and you want to rip their face off, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting a divorce. It just means that, you know, at that time, you check yourself and you just realize that, you know, being exhausted, being a new mom or a new dad or just being in a new situation, you got to give yourself a break and understand that sometimes being short and sometimes being, you know, just making it through the day and not sharing sweet nothings with each other might not be your reality now, but often you find your way back to each other. It just takes a little bit more time and a little bit more patience than usual.
And one of the biggest pieces of advice there is that don't compare yourself to what you see on Instagram of other people's relationships or your friends, because often they're not telling the truth anyways, right? So just because it's true, because how many hashtags left pictures we've seen followed by a divorce 2 weeks later is pretty remarkable. Yeah, don't feel bad when you see the posts that say, I fall in love with him even more every year. I'm the luckiest woman in the world, while you're literally throwing daggers through your eyes at your husband for doing whatever he did. Like, it doesn't mean it's going to be over. It just means that some people, like, need to say out loud how great it's all going.
Yeah. Now, I grew up with Asian parents. My parents are Filipino. And so there's a chapter in the book where you write about just kids being bossy and you really are just managing however they're feeling at some points. Yet at the end of the day, it's worth it. What does that mean? Does that mean, say, when they're older or when you are, you might be able to depend on them, say?
I love it. When you get old, they better take care of you.
Yeah. That's why I had four. Just somebody's going to pull through.
Someone's going to step up, right?
Usually the daughter. No, I was going to say that what it is basically it's like almost like this crazy, weird relationship where you are at your – you want to walk out the door or put them up for sale. But then when you walk out the door – you want to walk back in again because you can't imagine being with them, but you can't imagine being without them. And it is truly like this. I think only really parents can understand how they can drive you to the brink, but you would never change it. And there's nothing quite any other way to explain it. And you could have the worst day ever, and then they go to sleep and you miss them. So
that's what we always say. Our kids are so good and adorable when they're asleep. Like, just angels. That's the best time.
You mentioned Instagram, and I want to go back to the perils of social media, because there's such pressure there for not only for moms, because everybody wants to see pictures of the kids and the sort, and then you have to navigate through, say, the comments. What have you both done in terms of how you use social media? Is it something that you have to step away from?
Oh, you don't follow us on Instagram, do you?
No, I don't use it, no.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Wow.
We are real. We're just as honest in our book as we are on every platform.
Really?
And we keep it real, what we do. I mean, everyone says keep it real. I don't know what that means. We just be ourselves, and that is, I guess, real. I don't know how people fake it all day. That seems exhausting to me. So we honestly just share. Life is hilarious if you can see it.
Yeah, and that's why a big part of how we've grown our audience is just like it's a refreshing place to come where you can feel like you're not alone, because look at Kat and Matt, like, you know, taking a picture of themselves in their Spanx or with their kid, like throwing it down in the middle of a busy street. And just when you think that you're the only one who has it all falling apart, you see the two of us sharing the reality of it. And so we love using our platform to be able to connect with everybody.
Yeah. Now, this book has done quite well across the country. It's sold well.
It's a bestseller, number one.
Indeed. Yeah. Why do you think it's resonated so?
Because people need to hear this. They want this. We say it's like we have our social platforms, but we wrote the book, so there's a little life raft that people can pick up when they feel like they're drowning, and they can just read a paragraph. They can put it down later.
It's a funny book. I think it's funny, and I think that I think it's so real that it's hilarious, and I think a lot of people, you said it was hilarious, and you're not even close to being a parent.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can just find. I mean, we have people who aren't moms who follow us. We have people who are teenagers who follow us. And I think just when life is real and you see people, it's like we share the blooper reel. That's called life.
Yeah.
You know, we don't hide that. And I think they find comfort in our shit show, if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
The other thing that the book has that no other platform has is the first time we've shared some of our backstory and our personal anecdotes of how we got to where we are.
Mm.
And so a lot of the people who have followed us, they wanted to know more. So we put it in a book.
Now, the two of you in the book and in the time that we've been chatting these last few minutes, you know, seem to get along so well. I mean, I'm sure like any friendship, any relationship, there's tension from time to time, or there's, you know, did you guys get, do you ever get sick of one another, say?
No, never. We're, what are we? We're twin flames.
We're like soulmates on crack.
We need each other so bad that this relationship is too important to us to fuck around with it.
Right. And so what are the lessons there in terms of how to cultivate the friendship that you guys have? Because, I mean, that's something that I think everybody wants in their life.
Don't be competitive with each other. Support each other. Understand each other. No,
no 50-50. Like, it's not like I did more, you did more. It's more like, you know, we pick each other up when the other one knows that they need to be picked up, you know?
Sometimes we're weak and sometimes we're strong. Be able to feel your friend and be there for her when she needs you, and let your friend be there for you when you need her.
Yeah. And so how far do you live from one another?
Like 5 minutes apart. And in between that, we have both of our moms and our brothers and sisters. It's like we live in the big city of Toronto, but we feel like we live in a little tiny town because we rely on each other so much just to make all this happen.
Yeah. See, that's what reading the book and I think that's why it resonates with so many people is that you guys have what, even though it can be a shit show at times, I mean, you guys have what some people want. And I think that's why it's a marvelous book in that sense.
Aww.
Oh, you know what? You're right. We have so many people say, like, this reminds me of a friendship I used to have, or it reminds me of my best friend I haven't seen in so long, or I'm the cat, you're the cat to my Nat, or vice versa. It's like it's a relationship that gives you comfort because we laugh and we act like children sometimes, but we also mother together.
Yeah, well, the last thing I want to talk about is the sort of kids that you want to raise. I mean, no matter how you want them to turn out a certain way, I mean, at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. So how do you teach kids to be good kids, to be honest kids, so that they become good and honest adults?
No, we're still trying that one.
We don't know yet. I mean, they're not in jail. They're too young to be arrested. They'll talk to us in about 5 years.
Yeah, we want them to be. We want to lead by example by being kind. We want to encourage them to be confident and independent, and we want them to be capable human beings, which hopefully
resilient. I will tell you, this whole kindness movement is amazing, but we also want them to be able to problem solve, like with their voices, rather than just bending to kindness, because I think sometimes you lose your voice when you know kindness doesn't mean that you can't have a voice and you can't actually voice, like, I don't like what you're doing to me right now. It doesn't mean you have to name call or push back. but you can definitely...
We say be kind to yourself first.
Yeah, stand up for yourself in a positive way where you feel empowered to walk away or to not necessarily agree with everybody on everything.
Right. It's great advice whether you're a parent or not, and I learned a lot reading Mom Truths, and I've so enjoyed our chat today. This has been such fun. Congratulations on this book. I hope it continues to do well. Thanks for this.
Thank you so much.
Taking time out of your day to spend it with us.
Love to hear your perspective. That was really fresh and different.
The book is called Mom Truths, Embarrassing Stories and Brutally Honest Advice on the Extremely Real Struggle of Motherhood. It is published by Harmony Books. Catherine Belknap and Natalie Telford joined me on the line from here in Vancouver last week. I'm Joseph Plante.